Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in to the next chapter, Widows Ministry, a ministry talk show, a ministry embracing the widows and others who have lost a special loved one. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I'm so glad that you tune in tonight. Yes, that song by Donnie McCurkin is, yes, we definitely need God now. The things that are happening, we really need him. Need him more than ever. God may seem very far away, but he's not. The Lord is always with us, night and day. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. I know the things that have been happening. I know sometimes some of us might question God and say, where are you? You said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And the things that are happening, the death of the young children at the elementary school, the people that passed away at the grocery store. I mean, all this, the killings all across the country. It's been unbelievable this past weekend. Listening to the news, how many shootings and mass shootings has been, and even though we ask the question, where are you, God? Why are you letting these things happen? He's still there. He's still in control in spite of this all, in spite of all of this. We just going to have faith in him that. We don't understand what is happening, but we must have faith that God has never left us. He still loves us, and he's still there for us in spite of it all. And tonight, I want to talk about rebuilding your life. We're going to get off the subject of things that are happening now. and also focus on your life, rebuilding your life. I want to tell a short story. A widow who husband died told a story about the time when she realized she turned a corner on her grief. One day she found herself laughing and for just a moment had a glimpse of joy. You too can have joy again. You too can still laugh again. It was then when she began thinking, perhaps, just perhaps, I could make it. Over the next few weeks, the thought kept growing and her mind gradually changed. And perhaps, can I make it? Or I am going to make it. And many of you have gone another year and you've made it to this point. So knowing that you got through it this year, you can do it. You can try again for the next year. Just believing that you can make it. You can make it alone. And God, because God is right there helping you and walking you through all of it. You can make it. You can build your life again. And sooner or later, most people reach a point when they begin to spend less and less energy on simply surviving the loss and begin to spend more and more time rebuilding their life, often a very different life than the one was before. Of course, it's going to be different because that person is no longer there. Helping you make decisions, doing things together, it's going to be different. But in one sense, we begin to rebuild our lives the moment our loved one dies. But rebuilding doesn't begin to begin in earnest until we shift through the majority of our feelings, memories, and issues that resulted from the loss. We have gone through so many different issues. We are still lonely. Dealing with, coping with different things that we have to deal with because he's no longer there. Also, if you're talking about someone that has lost a sister, a brother, a mother, they miss visiting their mom, doing things with their mother or with their children or whatever. So, you know, each person experiences the loss differently. But it is so important that you begin to build your life again. Rebuilding doesn't mean your life goes back to exactly what it was before. Life can never be the same because of the loss you experienced. Rebuilding means picking up the pieces and putting them together again, but probably in a very different way because a significant piece of your life is missing and cannot be replaced. Rebuilding usually begins to happen slowly. Exactly when this transition starts to take place depends on many variables. What are the timing and circumstances of your loss? What was the relationship to the loved one who died? How much time and energy did you have to invest in the grief during the past year? Think about it. Many of the people that I have spoken to would say that they began rebuilding somewhere between 1 and 2 years after the loss. You might take longer or less time because if everybody is different, you may be approaching that transition now. Or perhaps it's still somewhere down the road. Either way, it is perfectly fine that you begin rebuilding your life when the time is right just for you. Each one of us are different. We grieve different. We think different. We do pretty much everything different. We have ways of, that other people, you know, some habits and stuff that other people have, but just knowing that we have each one of us have our own way to grieve. And each one of us going to have our own way to rebuild our lives. There are things that maybe you wanted to do all your life, and now you probably have the time to do it because you are there alone, and that person, that special loved one is no longer there. So you have more time to think about those things that you wanted to do. And I know I mentioned to you before that when after about a couple of years after Al passed, a couple of years after Al passed, something I've always wanted to do, I wanted to do floral. And I went to took classes how to do fresh and silk flowers. And I had a small business, a floral business, and I enjoyed it. I did gift baskets and all of that stuff. I don't do much of it now, not for a business, but I do it for myself. If someone asks me to do something, I will do it for them. But that was something that was always there that, you know, I was so busy with the children and everything, and we tend to put things away because of the time and the responsibility of our loved ones. But I did, after a few years after Al passed, and I became very successful. I was a very successful with my floral business, floral arrangement and gift basket. But like I said, right now I'm not doing it anymore. And I enjoyed it. And it's something that made me happy and kept me busy. So think about some things that you always wanted to do and try doing it. You can do it. You can do those things that you always wanted to do. Just try. Just try and make that effort, because that's part of rebuilding your life going forward. Because sometimes we need to take up those hobbies and different things that we always want to do, and will fulfill those loneliness and those emptiness that we may have going through this journey of grief. But it's not easy. It's challenging. There are challenges of changes, and because it's not easy to go forward. And just knowing that change is difficult. Change means leaving the familiar behind and stepping into the unknown. And that's what it is. I stepped in the unknown as for the floral. And I became very successful at it and enjoyed it for that moment. One of the most challenging aspects of losing a loved one is that the loss brings about many changes. Changes in the way that you have and may have even change in the way that you think. Now, I know some challenges. You have to pay the bills all by yourself. You know, there's no one there to help you with that. You may be doing it, you know, before, but you got to do everything yourself. You got to take care of the home. If you're in a home, you're responsible for all taking care of all the maintenance, you know, getting someone to do it for you, making decisions. So if the changes can be very difficult, because now I got to do all of this all by myself and no one is here. And you know one thing? Today it's more difficult in getting people to help you. Even if you paying someone, you got to be careful because they might take advantage of you and not do a good job and take your money. There's so many responsibilities and challenges that we have to we'll have to deal with. So it's difficult. It's not easy. Don't feel good, because sometimes I don't feel like it. There's so much stuff going on. I just don't feel like it. I need somebody to help me. And that spouse or whoever were there for you to help you get those things done. So, but changes can be temporary, and it also can be permanent. A grieving I'm going to flip the script. If a grieving husband says, sometimes I don't know who I I am anymore. He had lost that part of himself that was a husband or to his wife. So even though that he could be a widower, could have lost his spouse, that's difficult. And they did all the cooking and all that stuff and the cleaning, and now they got to take care of all of that at home. That can be very difficult. And he was struggling without that part of his identity. And we know, you know, some of us, I don't know, most men, you were doing most of the cooking, maybe. You were doing most of the cleaning. You were taking care of most of the kids most of the time. They were there, but they had their role to play. But now they got to do everything themselves too. They don't know how to deal with it. Really, I think sometimes we can deal with it better than they can because we are constantly been doing it in the past. The loss of a loved one can change the dynamic of the entire family. The remaining family members may need to find a new balance as well as take on responsibility previously handled by the person who died. Challenges of finding new outlets for the energy and emotions that you may have. They are like a river that dams up and can't flow in the direction it wants to go. While you can replace your loved one, the love, attention, the energy energy you gave to him or her needs new places to go. This may mean deepen existing relationship or making new friends. It may mean starting new hobbies, just like I mentioned before, starting new hobbies. Now, getting back to new friends, well, most of us who have been in the ministry, part of this ministry, the next chapter, for a while, I've made new friends, and I'm sure that you have made new friends. Many of you in the last few years, because of the pandemic, we have not met each other in person. We only saw each other on Zoom, hear each other on a conference call, or just talk show. Pretty much that's all. So we have not become friends, but we know about each other. But this ministry, this September is going to be 19 years. So many of us have bonded together because we were able to be in person with each other and share trips and different things. So pretty much you do develop and you do find new friends. Another challenge is that well-meaning friends or relatives may resist some of the changes that they see in you. Of course, your family is going to question you about different things that you're going to be doing. But the important thing, make yourself happy. You know, it's important that you make yourself happy and not others happy. They may not understand it's impossible for you to be exactly the same person that you were before the loss. You want to change in a different way that they can't understand, things that you want to start doing. Well, I'm going to give you two advice. Change don't have to happen overnight. Some of you are still new in this journey. Your change does not have to happen overnight, and they rarely do. If you face with a change that seems overwhelming, try it very gradually, a gradual approach. Take it in small steps. Little by little, day, one day at a time. So that's what you're going to have to do. Take the change gradually. Do it at your pace. Second advice, as bad as the loss was, the changes that results don't have to be all bad. Some good can come out of this. And one woman described her grief as a cocoon. She entered when her mother died, a dark and lonely, painful time, full of fears and doubts. She wondered if she would ever be happy or feel happy again or feel like living again. But she took 2 years to emerge from her cocoon. But when she did, like a butterfly, she marveled at the beautiful change within her. We can change. We can get through this journey of grief where you can start smiling and doing things again. But it wasn't impossible, but it, at that particular time, it was, if she felt like it was impossible to go forward. So just know that you can get through it. You can make it. And you will make it through this time in your life. And as you encounter changes in your life, tackle them in your own way and in your own time. Just remember that. Many people will come to you and say, oh, I thought that you would be at a better place right now. You're still crying. I mean, I thought you would be over this period. Some people like to push you through it. But see, if they haven't experienced a loss like you, they can't say that. They can't feel what you're feeling. It takes time. Even if you feel that you're getting through, all of a sudden something happens to remind you and you get a setback. And it's, and what's the, what I wanted to say, what's the name of, what is, oh, I can't think of it right now, what I want to say, but there is, it's a cycle. I can't think of, my thoughts. I think too much during the day. But anyway, it's, I wish I could remember that. Can't think of it. But anyway, it's where you can be doing so well, and all of a sudden something will set you back, and you feel like you just the way you felt when you first lost your loved one. But it is okay to do that, but not to stay in that position, in that situation, to move forward again. Not to dwell in that lonely and dark place again. So as you're encountering the changes in your life, tackle them in your own way and your own time. Nobody knows you better than you. Don't let anyone rush you into to change or pressure you to become a certain way. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There's a whole lot of people will be doing that. I have had so many widows have told me they can't understand why I'm still crying. It is okay to cry. I say cry until the tears dry out. So don't let anyone push you to change or pressure you to become a certain way. Change in the way that you need to change when the time is right. For who? For you. So just know that. It can be 3 or 4 years down the road. Oh, I'm doing okay. And all of a sudden, something happens and sets you back and you just start boo-boo crying or start thinking about all the things that you and that loved one used to do and you just can't seem to get a hold of yourself. But that is okay. That's not showing weakness or anything. It's just showing that you love that person and you thought about him and then, you know, the tears came or the emotions came. It is okay. But don't let people make you feel guilty about it because, and sometimes people that you love they don't mean any harm. Sometimes they don't know what to say, and the wrong thing comes out of their mouth. So don't think that they're feeling they're being cruel sometimes. They just don't know what to say to you. And just once again, just when this time, the right time for you, just let yourself rebuild your life little by little. Little by little, in your own way, and don't let people push you and make you feel guilty because you're still in that moment where you're thinking about him and different things. And like I said, during anniversaries, during birthdays, all those things set you back. You think about all the things that y'all used to do. So it is normal. It is needed and is necessary. It is necessary to go through these things. This is the process of grief. But just knowing that the changes, the challenges, difficult challenges. But just knowing that each time they will get better and better and better. And that is all I have for tonight. But I do have a few announcements. We are going on our Callaway trip this coming weekend, the 10th, Friday through Sunday, the 10th through the 12th. Some of you have not gotten back to me with your emergency number. I'm going to text you first thing in the morning, early in the morning. I'm going to be sending a text through, so please look for it. And I really need your emergency number. I've gotten the emergency number from our guests who are coming along with our widows. I've gotten your information, but I have not received emergency numbers from the rest of the group. And I do need that because if something happens there in Callaway Garden, we'll be able to contact. And we hope that nothing will happen. We're going to have a divine order of a trip and everything's going to be okay. But just in case we need to call or contact family members or whatever, we will have that number available. Sheila and I are going to have that list, and we're going to bring it with us because if something does happen, we need to inform someone of any situation. We want to be able to have that name and number. So please get it to me. You have my number. I'm always texting you. Don't text me the information in the group text. Please do not text me the information in group text. You know my number. My number is that comes through. Put it on a separate text. So everybody won't be seeing your information and being interrupted from whatever they may be doing when they see that text. So please do that for me. I need it. I'm going to send that text out tomorrow. I need it ASAP. Right away, so Sheila will be able to put it on the list, and you'll bring it with us on the trip just in case of emergency. We have sent some flyers out to everybody who's attending this trip. We've sent an email with the flyer. The flyer has everything that you need. Now, if you have not received the flyer, you need to text me and let me know. I mean, your group. I also have sent you everybody that's going to be in your room. I text that, the telephone number and the person's name that's going to be in the room. And the cottage is with you. You need to make sure that everybody has received their flyer so they'll have the information. And we ask everybody to please be at Callaway Gardens by 2 p.m. on Friday. Leave early enough that you can get there on time because we have things scheduled starting at 3 o'clock. But we're going to bring a small lunch for you, just a small something to eat until we go to dinner later. But we have something that we have scheduled for 3 o'clock and on. So please leave in time. Even if it says an hour and 15 minutes, don't leave an hour because it can be traffic. I'm going to give myself a couple of hours. I can leave just before 12 o'clock so I can get there enough time if there's traffic or whatever. I might be leaving at 11:45, and so I can have plenty of time to get there if there's something should happen, delay our travel. So if you have any questions, you know my number. You can call me or you can text me. And that is all I have for tonight. And the others that are not attending, I wish that we all were on this trip together. Pray for us. Pray for us for traveling grace and mercy and good weather. And I hope that next year that we can have everybody on the trip that we will be going on. I don't know what it is, but we've got to listen, continue to listen to the CDC and whatever it's, you know, as far as this virus. But I hope that we will be comfortable enough that we will be safe enough also to travel and really enjoy ourselves once again. Be blessed and have a great week, and tune in again next week, same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m. Be blessed and have a great night.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I